Five, four, three, two, one. You are listening to Flowing with Famous, your Fresno pop culture podcast. I am your host, Joshua T, and with me, as always, Mike C of the Dorktown Network of Podcasts.
Hello, Josh. Welcome to spring in Fresno. Is it official spring?
Spring in Fresno. Is it official? I don't know.
I don't know. It's not. It's March, so it's close enough.
So, last week, which was not March, but we had this weird thing. It definitely felt like spring for like a day, maybe day and a half. And then suddenly the big storm comes in.
Yeah.
It's freezing cold.
The storms keep coming. Still cold.
And I'm like, what is going on? There was like a day where I was in a t-shirt, felt pretty good about myself. Sun was shining, wasn't completely hot. And then next day, I'm getting drenched.
Yeah. It's that weird little window of time in Fresno where you can wear a jacket at some point, and then you get hot, and then like half hour later, like, oh, now I'm putting my jacket back on.
Right. Faux spring.
Spring. Yeah, you know, we got our normal amount of rain / snow, so we're good. We're good for the year.
Yeah.
We'll be all right. We won't have to worry about any drought for another year, at least. So
that's good.
That's good. There's snow in the Sierras.
There is snow from what I've seen. Yosemite had to shut down.
Yeah.
That's insane to me that the whole park is just like, get out.
Well, I mean, yeah.
Like, kick people. You can't. Like, get out.
Yeah, you're not going to be able to
have you here.
Yeah. Well, they can't spend a whole bunch of resources rescuing idiots all the time.
Right. It's true.
So they're just like, you know what? Nobody can get in here.
We'll be here. You ruined it. Guys. Come back later.
There's always somebody that thinks it's like Disneyland where everything's like a controlled space and like you can, it's like it's still wilderness. You still have to be careful. And
I was talking to a friend the other day and he said exactly that, you know, people treat it like it's Disneyland. And it's so interesting because I think that's true. But I also think that like the National Park Service also kind of plays into that a little bit.
Yeah.
You know, and rightfully so, I suppose, you know, because there is a product that they're trying to serve, you know, to give people. But yeah, I think people forget that it is actually wilderness up there and things can get, you know, you can fall off. You could fall off the thing and die. You can fall off the.
I think it's Yosemite is like there was an article I saw this past couple of weeks, it was of like the top ranking death national parks for people dying. Mm-hmm, and I think Yosemite's up there.
Yeah.
So, I mean,
I wonder if that's though because it is so much more highly trafficked.
Yeah, that can be too. You know? I mean, do you think about it? Yosemite has everything for dying. If you're going to die in a national park, somebody has all except for maybe extreme heat.
Right.
You can slip on everything. You can get lost. You can get animals attacked. They got all the cool stuff.
It's mostly people falling off cliffs, right?
Yeah.
If I had to guess. Yeah. And a lot off of the, cause there's, and also, you know, it is highly trafficked and it's also like famous for climbing purposes and other stuff for things that are dangerous, let's say.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, but it also is a beautiful place that everyone should go. And if you are a president and haven't been to Yosemite, do yourself a favor. I haven't been in a long time.
I feel bad about it. I do as well. I mean, I have not gone this year. And I always feel like a hypocrite. I'm like, go to the Sierras. And I'm like,
be cool. Yeah.
I'm just staying home going like, you guys should go.
You guys go, I think that's fair. I think that's fair for you to do.
I mean, I've been there enough.
You've done your duty.
Yeah, I put in my time. I'm like,
put in your time, went out, no, did but all the
like,
stuff.
I don't know. I might end up there, you know, like retired or something. I don't know.
Oh, so, you think so?
Maybe the Sierras, somewhere in the Sierras.
Huh.
I mean, there's a lot of, there's a lot of little, we don't think about it enough. There's a lot of nooks and crannies there in the Sierras.
That is true. That is true.
If you keep going north, you know, from here to Tahoe, there's a lot of little places that if you just like want to be away from everyone, just be in your own little space.
And that's what you're looking for in retirement, huh?
Maybe.
All right.
Maybe.
So let's jump in. Let's talk about some Fresno pop culture.
First, Josh, have you taken a picture in an almond orchard yet? You've only got a few more days, I feel like, and then those blossoms are going to start falling off the tree, and then the picture's not going to look as good. Well, you better hurry and get your blossom orchard, almond orchard selfie in before it's over.
Did you see, so speaking of blossoms, the those trees are back, you know, the ones that smell like ejaculate. And
no, I don't know, Josh.
You don't know?
I know.
This is like, which and one I is only this? Bring this up. So this is a thing. There are these trees. I can't remember what they are. They are in Fresno. They smell like ejaculate. I think it was either Channel 30 or maybe your Central Valley. One of the news stations did a story. And the headline was like, oh, stinky trees return or something. It was really funny how they had to make it very, they had to tone. They couldn't really say,
like,
you know
what that smell is.
But everyone knows what the smell is. And it's just, yeah. And there's a reason, I can't remember. It's something to do with the pollinating,
okay,
whatever. But anyway, well, those trees are back.
Yeah, it definitely has something to do with pollinating, Josh.
But yeah. But no, I have not been, I have not done a blossom picture.
I take the pictures of the orchard, but I don't include myself in them.
Right. It's not like a selfie thing, but you like the orchards.
We do have probably have what may should be a legal amount of almond orchards, but that's fine. I mean,
and those are the pretty ones, right?
Yeah, those are the ones that are the white popping.
What? But there's also what's the on the Blossom Trail out in Sanger?
No, I don't think they're all.
Yeah, those are all like stone fruit trees. Yeah, and
there might
be
peach. Peach trees have like the pink blossoms. Oh, so
there you go. That's the one that I sort of most identify with the Central Valley. Mm-hmm. Is that sort of blossom, Sanger Blossom Trail, which we probably...
The fruit trees also have some too, but fruit trees are like, they're like 8 months out of the year they're going, so they're...
Right.
Always.
And the oranges too. I think oranges have less...
Citrus.
They're less like, they're less pretty in terms of like stand under them in the way to get a really nice selfie.
Like, this isn't doing it for me.
Yeah.
But yeah, just a public service.
I wonder.
Do the Blossom Trail if it's still going.
What's that?
I said the Blossom Trail if it's still going.
If it's still going, yeah. It's probably done by now or really close, especially because the recent rains probably knocked all those blossoms down, if I had to guess. Do you feel like Fresno County is more popular on social media, TikTok, Instagram in this little window than the rest of the year because of blossom selfies?
Blossom selfies and Sierras. The Sierras look good. The air is clear and you can see all the snow. And then you get that, combine that with the almond orchard. And then maybe you get, this is the time of year where you get your downtown pics.
That's true. Yeah, everything's all nice.
If you're Craig Kohlhorst, this is your time of year, man. Get out there, pop it off, get those pics in.
Yeah.
Get your Instagram built up.
Photographer. Where's your almond orchard of choice?
Well, I spend my time in Madera County more than Fresno County.
Okay.
I'm a Madera Merced County a lot.
But that's close. That's close. Madera's right there.
Same. That's same.
Just
that's
to jump
region.
Over the 41 right there.
Yeah, all the boom, pretty Madera. Much like for some reason.
Riverstone,
I think,
is it Riverstone? If you go out to Riverstone.
Oh, that's well that's on the other side of the river, but and yeah, that doesn't there's houses instead of
you're just like
orchards.
There's nothing out there anymore except for
no yeah. They still got like the old I have if that's pistachio out there I think it's pistachio.
Oh, okay.
And then of course almonds. It's just like I get
almonds
weird
everywhere.
Like I don't know what's going on with the other fruits or anything because it's just like so much almond and pistachio everywhere. It's just I don't know.
It's called capitalism.
Yeah, I know. Well, I mean, I'd have to talk to
the most money.
I'd have to talk to the long time growers here that live here and not some LA conglomerate that owns an orchard and see what they say about almonds because and pistachios.
They make the most money.
Well, yeah, obviously, but I mean.
That's what it's all about.
I don't know. Like, I need to talk to the punk rock farmers that are just like, fuck almonds. Let's grow tomatoes.
Yeah, tomatoes, I think, are out west.
They're on the west side, yeah. The Farbaugh, Mendota, they're all out there.
They have all the tomatoes and stuff out there. I went out there one time. Oh, there's a organic farmer out there.
Mm-hmm.
That I'm gonna flake on. I can't remember the name of the farm now, but it's a big one that people know. And I went out there and I did a story. Maybe TD Willie, something like that. Is that?
Yeah, that's one.
So I think it might have been that. But anyway, so I go out at the tomato farm and
Wiley. Is it Willie or
Wiley? Probably yeah. And I we were there and it was like here have some tomatoes right off the vine. And I will tell you what. If it wasn't like the best thing in the world, like the best thing to like pick a piece of ripe fruit, tomatoes fruit, I suppose, and eat it straight. I mean, if you think you don't like tomatoes, and this was me for a long time, like, uh-huh. I don't know, tomatoes, go find a place like that will let you just pick it straight off the vine, go have it, life-changing.
Yeah.
And then you'll be like, mad. Because then you will only want to buy.
Yeah,
sort of
you'll be ruined for.
Like, yeah, you'll be tomatoes. Ruined. You'll be like, why would I ever eat any of the crappy stuff you can get in the?
Yeah,
and well, you'll maybe, just be mad anytime you go to a restaurant and you're like, I'll have a BLT, whatever you know, whatever it is, and then they give you that thing.
Some
that,
lame non.
It's. I mean, it's a tomato, I suppose. But
you're. I just lost my.
Man, I did it.
No, I went. You could go to the farmer's market at, like we talked about last week at Shaw and Blackstone.
Yeah, yeah. You should go to the farmer's market. I mean, you'll have to. I suppose, actually, I don't know. Stores are better now than they have been in the past, I think, about that kind of stuff. So you could probably find a decent tomato at most places, probably.
Yeah.
I mean, I haven't, you know. I haven't necessarily been looking 100% lately, but
yeah, if it's not in Whole Foods, Josh doesn't know. It's like, well,
that's right.
Know.
That's right. That's
you always find them. You can find me at the Whole Foods, the salad bar, being really pissed that there's no ranch or there's barely any ranch left. And it's just all it's like every time. Like, I got to look at the ranch first before I build the salad because I'll just. Not thinking, I start building the salad, and then I get to the end, and there's like no ranch or just little ranch. I'm just like, and there's like eight different dressings.
Go buy a thing of ranch and just.
Well, that's not my responsibility. That's the salad bar's responsibility. I almost did go grab one from the shelf the last time because I was like so just like. Like, how do you not have ranch so consistently? Not have ranch out. Like, nobody gives. You could just not put the other dressings out and just
no
put
one
ranch
cares
out.
About anything but
no.
Ranch.
They're all just like, I guess I'll have some Italian on this.
Italian, I don't like ranch.
All right. Well, this is the last episode of Flowing of Famous with Josh
and
thing myself.
That does it, huh? It's like, oh, you don't like ranch.
How could you not like ranch?
No, I probably.
I'll move on.
If
then.
You know me, anyone who knows, I probably actually do like ranch. And I just like have it in my head that yeah. I don't like ranch. And if I were ever any place and someone was like, hey, here's this thing with a bunch of ranch on it, I'd be like, oh, okay. And then just
don't
be
tell,
in love and be like,
don't
oh my
tell
God,
Josh.
So
don't tell Josh it's ranch. Tell him it's something else. And then afterwards, you'll be like, you know what you just had? You're like, oh, you're like, that was delicious. And you're like, well, it was all ranch.
But I feel like you can't be in this part of California and not like.
Yeah, you can't. Like, I might have to edit that.
People love ranch
here.
Like, it's just this insane thing.
I'm gonna tell Kim.
Oh, would you want ranch? Why would I want ranch with this? What are you even talking about? Get out of here.
So you don't care that you have to pay for ranch at me and Ed? Is that what you're saying?
No, because I don't pay for it. Like.
I gladly
pay
for it.
There's other people because you know you always have to.
I gladly pay for it, and I don't need ranch with my pizza necessarily. Mm-hmm. But if it's there, I'll use it. But I don't
for sure.
But I am glad that they make you pay for ranch because then I can get the proper amount of ranch I want.
Right.
Without
you wish. Yeah. The Whole Foods would charge for ranch.
Well, they did. They actually
there would be ranch there.
Actually, they technically do because they charge weight. They when you make something at the bars, they charge by weight. So that ranch you're putting on
$15 salads, and it's like $7.
Yeah, it's $7 worth of ranch. I'm like, that's worth it.
And 4 pieces of broccoli.
Yeah. Oh, no, not broccoli, Josh. That's terrible. Ugh. I can't handle broccoli. Even stuff that touches the broccoli. I'm just like, never mind.
No broccoli, huh? All right. No. Well,
sorry,
we're learning
broccoli.
Things today, Mike.
Sorry, Fresno County
about
broccoli.
Our compatibility as eaters.
Yeah. Sorry, Fresno County broccoli growers of America. I apologize. Yeah. But go out and get some broccoli. Everybody else seems to be fine with it.
Yeah, people love broccoli. Also, broccolini, yeah. Which is not actually broccoli.
Or broccoli, make your pizza crust with broccoli or whatever.
Oh, yeah, some people do that. Or cauliflower, people do that.
Cauliflower, yeah. Never mind. I'm moving on. Sorry, I've put us into some sort of weird
food talesman.
Right here. Speaking of food. Let's talk about this. Okay. I think I've probably brought this up in the show. I know I've brought it up on the Fresno before or whatever, but Fresno. About we always
Hold
talk
up.
About.
First of all, let me just tell you, I'm gonna skew us off tangent. But
all right,
we have been doing this show for how long now?
I mean, yeah,
us
together, probably good 10, 12 years, but the show is much older than that.
Do you think there's a topic that you haven't brought up on this show?
Yeah, I probably not. Certainly not.
So it's safe to say that we have talked about this.
It's just a refresh.
It hasn't been a while. Yeah. Anyway, I'm sorry. Go on.
We have a reputation for like we love chains. Like we get
we get all
giddy about chains. We support chains. We're like chains. I contend that with most things that we complain about in Fresno, mm-hmm. like what's mm-hmm. wrong with Fresno, mm-hmm. is a every city problem. And I think do you think that Fresno has an abnormal or above average like for chains? I contend that Fresno's chain is just comparable to any other city. Most people think we love it more.
I think I agree with you. Okay. Mm. So I have friends who live in Santa Rosa. Santa Rosa just got a Shake Shack.
Uh-huh.
Okay. You know about Shake Shack? Yeah, Shake Shack. It's a chain. It's amazing.
Well, that's not the one that we had for briefly for like a few months.
It is not. It might have been Steak and Shake, similarly named, but it's
yeah.
Not the same.
There's like these two different chains that like almost have the same name, and it's confusing.
So there has been a Shake Shack coming to Santa Rosa. So Santa Rosa also has this shopping center that is very similar to Fig Garden, like almost exactly like old school Fig Garden, probably designed by the same company back in the day. There has been a Shake Shack coming to this place for months, recently opened. My friend sends me pictures lying around the block of people waiting to get in. So excited about Shake Shack. So I think you're correct. I think that every city, especially cities that don't have their own deep food culture, are all about chains. They love chains. And I mean, I get it in a certain way, because it's like, look, if you're a chain, it means that you figured out how to do something really, really well.
Yeah, efficiently.
And so, you know, it's not going to be crazy. And then I think there's also something else to be said for like feeling wanted. So like if a chain is opening in Fresno, it's like, ooh,
they think we're worthy.
We're getting called up to the big time because whatever chain wants to open here, you know?
Yeah.
So I think there is something like that. There's like a feeling of acceptance that you get when a chain decides like, ooh, you're worthy to have our, you know, restaurant.
Especially when it's like a hot, kind of hot buzzworthy chain. And they're like, feels like maybe we're doing something right. That like, oh, they're like, find us worthy.
Yeah. Ooh, they noticed. Like we got noticed by the chain. They like want,
Cane's is about to open up another location in town. So, and that Cane, just as an example, Cane's chicken place, like that's like a coveted. We had had friends come to town last year, and they're like, "Oh, you have a Cane's," and like that was like, you know, like we got a Cane's. And there's even like quirky things too, like the our Sizzler. I think we're one of the few towns that still have a Sizzler.
That still has a Sizzler.
So we had all the people in town, and they're like, "Wait, you still have a Sizzler?" They're like, "Let's go. We gotta go. They're like, "We gotta go to the Sizzler." Childhood memories of like, let's go back to the Sizzler, and it's like, oh, I thought these didn't exist anymore. Like, no, we still got a Sizzler. So, like, there is some sort of, I don't know, it's a genre that I think is fine as long as we're supporting our local stuff.
Well, so that's what I was going to say. For as many chains as we have and as much love for chains as we have a surprising amount of local eateries. You know, so if you follow Bethany Clough at the Fresno Bee, every week, there's like two or three stories about some new restaurant opening.
And it's always
and
local.
Most of them are not chains.
Yeah.
You know, most of them are sort of independent local places doing, you know, a lot of times very interesting stuff. So, and I feel like Fresno does support those places. If you have a really good,
if you're checking like, all the boxes, Fresno comes out.
And it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what your space is, right? Like, it doesn't matter if you are have some nice big restaurant in the cool shopping center. No, if you're open in the back of gas station on North Hearn or whatever, if your food is good, there will be people who stop in and they'll be talking about it and they'll be sharing it with, you know, whatever. If you're a pizza place that like only offers slices, only offers like things like every other week at Spokeasy, and you got to go through this entire long process just to get a piece, people will, they'll dig it, they'll love it. So like, Fresno supports its food scene. That's one thing that I totally think I believe in. You can say whatever else you want about whether Fresno supports its art or music or, you know, sports, like bubble, whatever. Fresno supports its food.
Yeah, I think for the most part, too, I think, you know, there's certainly places will fall through the cracks here and there and maybe not make it when they should have made it and could have made it. But, you know, for the most part, like, it is a thing that we do in, like, as things to do in Fresno, one of those things is going out to eat. Like, that is, in our things of list of things to do, where maybe somebody from a bigger city is like, it's like, geez, all you guys do is go out to eat. And I'm like, well, that's what we do.
That's what we do here.
And we enjoy it.
We have food, so leave us the...
Yeah, leave us alone. Okay. We can't go to the ocean. I mean, not, you know, I mean, it's not right there. So I leave it. Leave us be in our food. Just come hungry. If you're going to come stay in Fresno, just be hungry. Get your brings a budget of food. Eating out budget and come hungry.
So you mentioned Sizzler and that like nostalgic thing.
Yeah.
Did you see that we're getting a Golden Corral and people are like freaking out
about
having a Golden Corral?
Finally, we're Golden Corral worthy.
Yeah. We're Golden Corral worthy, which is a thing. It's so funny because a lot of people thought Fresno already had a, including me. I heard, we're getting a Golden Corral, and I was like, didn't we have a?
What's
Golden?
That one on West
we
Shaw?
Had one and it closed.
Okay,
what's that?
Was that actually on West Shaw?
Well, so no, the one on West Shaw, and this is actually where the Golden Corral will be. Was a hometown buffet.
Oh, okay,
different buffet. Yeah. There was a Golden Corral in Clovis. I think it was like Shaw and Villa in that shopping center over there.
Yeah.
And then that closed down in like 2011. I don't know. It closed down and now there's a new place there. There were a couple of hometown buffets, but not a Golden Corral. But people will remember there was a Golden Corral in Hanford. And there was one in Reedley. And this was actually, I know way too much about Golden Corral now.
Right, getting all the kinds of Golden Corral.
If you follow the story of Golden Corral, you know, they started as a steakhouse, a family steakhouse. And then they added a salad bar, and then they added a potato bar, and then eventually they kind of shifted
into
being a buffet.
People like this buffet stuff.
Dude, people love the buffets. So in Hanford and Reedley, they actually had the family steakhouse. I seem to remember there was a Golden Corral in Selma, but I could be wrong about that. I remember it in my head, but you know, now that there's like that Mandela effect thing, I don't trust anything. I don't trust anything. Right. Like any memories I have, like people could easily just
Bernstein. Is it Bernstein Bears or Berenstein Bears?
Anyway, but people are very like they're gotten some nostalgia for this Golden Corral.
I mean,
don't know. I
guess
never
the pandemic pandemic didn't kill buffets, huh?
So buffet it did kill some. So it did kill some buffets, including the hometown buffet. I think closed during the pandemic. Sweet Tomato.
That was before though.
I think
maybe that one was still going at the beginning on Fresno.
Yes, pandemic did.
I
clear some of that
tomatoes.
Away, but now it's back. You know, we realize.
Well, bring back sweet tomatoes.
Oh, you want to bring back sweet tomatoes?
Yeah, I'd rather have sweet tomatoes than Golden Corral. I mean, I've never been in Golden Corral. I don't think, but maybe I did go to that one in Clovis.
Yeah,
I think I did do that one once, but yeah, I miss sweet tomatoes. Let's bring sweet tomatoes back. I wasn't going to here. Anyway, another thing I've mentioned too many times, how I am still, and I heard a couple other people unrelated to our whatever scene, so like regular Fresnans mentioning this. When is a restaurateur gonna open a restaurant in the downtown triangle that's like of that echelon of restaurant. Pismo's, Anesso's, any of those kind of genre of restaurant. Like, who's got the guts? Who's got the balls to do it?
So you're calling people out.
Yeah.
You're saying, you're putting the call out. Hey, somebody take this up and do it.
Because, like, they're wild. Those places are, like, you can't get, it's hard to get in. They're all, like, everyone loves them. They're great places. Mm-hmm. And how, let's see you do it in downtown. But we do have a returning venue downtown, though, with the old Joe's Steakhouse now is a
Country Kitchen.
Country Kitchen. Have you been yet?
I have. Oh, okay. I've been several times. I love it. It's great. It's great. It's exactly what you would expect. It's a diner.
It's still Joe's-esque in there.
It has diner's food. It's very much Joe's-esque. I'm not sure they changed much of anything inside. The menu is exactly what you would expect. The, you know, service is like that really down home, super friendly, sometimes over friendly, where you're just like, I just want to sit here for a while. And I don't know, it's great. It's walking distance for me. So I, you know, on weekends I have walked down there and just had my breakfast and walked it off and I'm going home. It's great. I think it's definitely, for me at least, it's a wonderful return. In fact, I've probably been there now more times than I had been to Joe's Steakhouse.
Oh, wow.
In the time that it was, you know. I don't know.
Well, that was really needed for downtown. It's a place that you can sit down and be comfortable and have be served and hang out and eat. There's not enough, like, I mean, there are, definitely some on Fulton, restaurants like that. I'm not saying there aren't, but just like a diner, and you just needed that. That's needed in.
So I feel like, in terms of having a place like Pismo's or what's the barbecue place,
Westwoods,
Westwoods, or you know whatever Nesso's. It's gonna be in downtown. There's some difficulties.
Yeah,
I feel like, and one of them is, sadly enough, it's parking. Like, people don't like.
Well, Bill, look at my car while I'm eating.
I mean, right. They don't like to park and have to walk, you know, to a place they can't see, you know, like around a corner, like whatever. So if you're going to have a place like that, it has to be like a different. You're looking at kind of almost a different concept, right? Yeah. So it's not going to be a place that necessarily people just show up to eat. It's going to have to be a place that like is open when people are down there going to see a baseball game or see a play at the theater or see a concert. You know, it's going to have to be more of that style because people just – they're going to want to, you know, it's like, I've already parked, like whatever. Now I can, and I have something else to do because, you know, that's my take anyway. I think because there's not a spot, you know, have you ever tried to go to Cosmos and find, you know, and get parking?
Yeah.
Like in a, it's
true. Cosmos
it's,
is
it's
in
difficult. Kind of that, it has a very tiny little parking lot. And look, like I don't think that's necessarily a good thing. Like, you know, I'm not saying it's bad. I think we should have more places that don't give a shit about parking and make you and like whatever. Because there's plenty of parking downtown. That's not the problem. It's not that, you know, it's not like we don't
it's
have parking.
Like leaving people like are just the leaving your car. And, you know, leaving your car and walking.
People want parking lots.
Right.
They don't want to have to park on the street or whatever else. So
even though
I feel like that's something that kind of hurts it. Yeah. And then the other thing is, like, you know, those types of restaurants typically are bigger. And I feel like that overhead makes it more difficult to be able to operate. And so that's, you know, another issue. And so it's easier to go into a place where, you know, there's a bunch of other stuff that's already there. And so I don't know. It would be awesome. You know, I feel like there have been sort of tries at it before. You know, I think that space that used to be the Hot PK, yeah. It was a pizza no, like upscale like a, kind of pizza place of for a while. Event. Now it's called the Rosé.
Like an event, more of an event place than everyday restaurant.
You know, I think that would have been a good space for it. I think Hot PK made a really good run at it.
Yeah. They,
you know.
It's really, that's a really, I mean, those, that Rosé place, like, probably have the right idea of making it an event place, because it's just that, that spot is like, just has, you're talking about how the difference of like having to walk around to a place. It's just that spot is just so off putting right. for a regular Fresnan to go to.
To find, and that's the other question. Okay. So your thing is, where would it go? Where would a place
well
like this
right
go?
Now because that building that was supposed to be built there apparently is just not going to happen. The lot that's across from Tauga Beer Garden, that would be a spot you could do just if you wanted to forget about building up and infill and all that. If you wanted to just, let's just put a big ass restaurant here with parking and everything, you could do it on that spot.
Yeah.
If you know, something needs to be done about that freaking corner, man. It's like, it's just going to sit there as an old ass parking lot with some torn down buildings forever. I mean,
I feel like that would be a good spot for a place like that. Generally, like that area, because
it's right behind the baseball stadium,
there's so much happening down that, you know, because the brewery district has, you know, has created a bit of a like spot there that you could put a restaurant in there, and it could do well because you know you're going to get people, and there's the synergy. So the restaurant's there, and there's a, you know, bars next door, and there's breweries there, and there's shopping of a sort, and you know the baseball stadium's right there. So that would be a good space for it if you could find a space that was, you know, nice enough and for what someone was looking for.
If somebody would ever do something with that, I mean, you could put it on a which I think was sort of planned originally. It's supposed to be like a five-story like condo building and with the retail at the bottom, so you could put a restaurant at the bottom of it, but that's for another generation, I guess, you know, to deal with
the the old Club One space had that bar restaurant, which was really cool. That could, you know, that could be a sort of space and a concept. There was that restaurant in the hotel, actually, that was kind of, you know, I only went to the restaurant once, I think, but it was kind of cool. So there are spaces, I suppose, that something like that could work. But it would definitely take someone who would be willing to, like, probably suck it up for a while and build, you know. But I don't know if you remember. Do you remember one of Fresno's probably most upscale restaurants upstairs downtown? Do you remember upstairs downtown? It was on P Street in P Street on the other side of City Hall. Like closer to the freeway.
No, not really.
And it was, I can't remember the chef's name now. But she was like a well-known, really well-known chef, created everything sort of, you know, it was that farm to table thing with a changing menu, all the time. And it was really nice. I think I went there once on a New Year's Eve, and it was super great, awesome food. But it was definitely like up, like it wasn't even like Pismo's upscale. It was actual upscale, like really nice kind of place. And it was in the old building, so it had all the atmosphere and everything. It was like, it was great. It was a really cool place. And I think it was just one of those things that, you know, at a certain point, chef wants to retire and just kind of whatever. But that was a great place. And I think something like that could, you know, there are spots for that, something like that. And a place like that would be cool because it operates again on a different, level. So it's a little more like we're not going to get as many people coming through, but we're going to give them this different kind of experience where it's, you know, Pismo's, they're all about, you know, we're mass appeal kind of place.
Right. Yeah.
So I guess it depends on what you're looking for.
That's true.
Yeah.
It doesn't have to be like this big thing, and it can just be fit in within.
Yeah. If you could get like a annex kitchen type place, that's not a huge place, but it would be, you know, some place like that would be really cool.
Annex would be great. So the people with restaurateurs get on that and we'll back it.
Yeah, we'll definitely in whatever way we can. We'll have you if you want to come on the show and talk about it.
Yeah.
We'll make that work.
All right.
So
we got some more downtown talk discuss.
Okay.
But first it's time for a band of the episode.
Band of the episode. I don't know.
The band we played last week said they would do it. They would do a bumper song for us,
which is so cool. We got to get on that.
So yeah,
I'll reach out. I want to make that happen. That'd be really cool. It would be awesome. Whatever they come up with. All right. So let's jump into. Let's just play the song, and then we'll come back and talk about it. Yeah.
Yeah.
ring of the world. Very cool. Very cool. So the band is Artificial Language. Prog metal band.
Yeah.
Sort of that new chuggy sort of prog metal. That with all the crazy instrumentations and whatnot. So this is a song that we played called Skinwalker. And it is the single from an album, an EP, I guess, that's coming out in, I think it's March 22nd is when the album is actually coming out. And then the day before, they will be doing a listening party over at Rage and Records in the Tower Theater.
Nice.
So it's a free thing. I think it's like at 7 there in the Tower.
I love listening parties.
At Rage and Records. Yeah, but listening parties are... So I guess they've had listening parties forever. But I feel like lately they've really sort of taken off here in town. There's been several. There was a Green Day listening party.
Yeah.
That New Rock was sort of a part of, I think, there at Rage and Records. Rage and Records has been doing a lot of these. Paul likes them, I think. Paul, the owner there, I think he likes doing listening parties. And so, and there's a couple people in town who are kind of connected to different, you know, bands and labels and things. And so kind of making that happen. But anyway, this is one of the first I think I've seen of a local group doing a listening party. I think it's great. I think, you know, it's a great idea.
Yeah.
The more anything we can do to get people, like, we know how people listen to music now, right? It's very like individual, right? Like, you have your
headphones.
Spotify playlist or whatever, you know.
Headphones, like headphones, headphones. Everybody in my daughter's generation is just, they all, like, it's like a requirement to have a headphone, have headphones on.
Oh, really?
So, yeah.
Do they do earbuds or like actual headphones?
But and I would say more actual, but Bluetooth headphones, but actual headphones, not.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, like they definitely do the Apple earbuds, but
right.
But it's more about too. The big old Bluetooth headphones. Yeah.
Huh. Right. So anyway, people. That's how people are into music. So anything that gets people together to be listening to things, whether it's live music or in this case, like listening parties, I think it's great. You know, anything that gets the gets people together to talk about
and like
and
you're
hang out.
In a you know you're in a room of people that like the same thing. So
right,
the
and
same,
that's always great.
That same experience you have going to a concert, you have in a little tiny experience. With
nothing bad. I don't think anything bad can happen from having people, similar minded people in the same space. You know, doing stuff that they love. So I'm all about it. I think it's a great idea. So check them out. Artificial Language. Great band. They've been around for a while, probably 2016, 2017, maybe when they put out their first albums, doing some really interesting stuff. I think they're, you know, because they're like in a niche, like this kind of niche thing, I think they have a chance of getting some decent exposure because, you know, it's one of those things where if you are into this thing,
right,
there aren't a whole lot of them out there.
Mm-hmm.
So you're going to be finding them. Speaking of, did you see Sleepover Disaster shared? I think it was Vince, the drummer, shared. And I can't exactly remember.
Shout out to Vince.
I think it was. What's that?
Shout out to Vince.
Yeah, shout out to Vince.
I was I met him before. It all started. I was in the music classes with him at Fresno City College.
Really?
Yeah.
Interesting.
Long, long
what
time
a
ago.
Small world.
Long time ago.
Sleepover has a million plays, streams on, I think it was Spotify that he was showing. Like a million.
Oh, yeah. Damn. Yeah, because Shoegaze is kind of having a moment.
It's kind of having a moment. And again, it's one of those things where, like, if you go outside, so there's like the main, there's like the big groups that people know. It's like the shoegaze, like, you know, Mount Rushmore or whatever. If you get below that, there aren't a whole lot of shoegaze bands out there that have done like stuff. And I think, you know, if you just start doing Google and listing that Sleepover Disaster is on that list.
Yeah.
And so apparently they have a lot of people who are listening to them. So really cool. I was shocked by the number because that's a huge number. But also kind of not surprised because, A, you know, they've been around for a long, long time. And I think they've just been like silently making inroads in that, like, again, the way that the music industry works now. You can be a band that put out an album however long ago and people rediscover. So
that's cool. Yeah. And speaking of discovering,
sorry,
you're good.
I just took a tangent as always.
No, I wouldn't consider that tangent necessarily. Speaking of local music, Fresias Fest and March.
Yes.
Fresias Fest, March 23rd.
All right. And they just released their lineup.
All right.
And if you give me a second.
And that's what I get excited about Fresias Fest is the local music.
It's interesting because
I can have all the other stuff whenever it feels like.
Sure.
The local music is like, oh, this is here in this space. And
it's interesting because I don't think they ever really necessarily set out to be a you know, it's not a music festival, right? Like it's not, but they put on a bunch of bands and they do some really cool stuff.
Yeah.
You know, they were trying to get Argyle Pimps back this year. It just didn't work out timing wise or something. I'm not exactly sure the backstory.
That would have been good.
Wouldn't it? That would have been great. So I assume that will probably happen at some point, whether it's Fresias or some other thing. I assume Porch they'll Fest. Probably get have Argyle Pimps and back. That's the OG rap group from
Argyle Pimps. So buy us a drink.
Anyway, so interesting thing, factoid note about this year, there's two main stages this year. So in the past, they had a main stage, and then they had like some DJs and different things, but then they had the homegrown stage
that I have been a part of.
And then, but this year, they have two main stages and a homegrown stage. So I'm just going to read off the names, and then we can talk about whatever. So, Unlikely, the Carlos Montano Band, John Clifton Blues Band, Tower Rats, Siba, who does like a reggae thing, One Hot Minute, cover band, The Box, also a cover band who plays every year, so obviously they were going to be there. Mm-hmm. From Flowers to Flies, a band that I love, and I'm glad that they're on the list, and everyone should see them. Macondo, ditto. 1335, which is the ska band, ska reggae band. Love those guys. Happy to see them on there. Sydney, singer-songwriter. Belmont Sound System, which is like old school ska, traditional ska band. Brian Cade, R&B rap guy. The Banda Sinolones Pura Cayeta. I'm murdering that and I apologize. I'm reading it as if for the first time it's not. But and then Charlie Holmes, who I think some people have probably seen. He's got a really cool quack. So it's gonna be really cool. And I'm not exactly sure how they're setting the stages up. I think they'll have one in the normal spot where they do, in that spot just across from Tyler you were talking about. Mm-hmm. And then I think they're gonna have another one that's like on Echo, kind of the other side of like Full Circle there. And I think Full Circle's going to have bands playing as well. So there's going to be a lot of music happening. So, and then Homegrown will have a stage as well, and working on the lineup of that kind of as we speak. So all hopefully, right, depending on when people are listening to this, there, that info might be out as well. But
all right.
So it's going to be a lot of bands. If you're into music, I mean, the thing about Fresyes Fest, in some ways, it's like the music is happening and there are definitely people who will go to see the music, but I feel like it's just kind of like background stuff in a way. And I don't mean that negatively, but it's like you're hanging out and you're seeing friends and you're drinking beer and blah, blah, blah. And there's music playing and it's really good. And sometimes you'll be like pulled and want to watch it, but it isn't the thing necessarily that you're there for.
Yeah.
Right. So I don't know. What's your thought?
Yeah, it's kind of, you just float in and out, and it just depends on how hardcore you want to be about it. Mm-hmm. But like, you just come in like, oh, this is pretty good. And then, for a few songs, then you float somewhere else and stuff. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. But you know, I can choose to be the guy standing in front of the band with his arms folded, being like, all right, I'm gonna sit here and bring it, like,
right,
I'm gonna sit here and watch this band. So you can, you know, you get your choice of the, which is, you know, nice for some people that might not go into a club, might not go to Fulton 55 and see, right, a show. They can see local bands and that kind of way that they probably wouldn't have otherwise.
I think it feels like they took a different sort of turn in the last few years than they had in the past. You know, like when it started, because the thing was like a kind of celebration of Fresno, the Fresno culture, you know, that Tioga was doing. It was definitely a celebration for Tioga because, you know, the whole thing started as a anniversary for Tioga and for Mike Oz, his Osmosis radio show. That was kind of the idea, I think, originally. And they were tying it together. And then it became this whole like huge thing. And at the start, I think they really were like wanting to showcase, like specifically showcase Fresno music in a very specific way. And so they would always have like some newer bands, one or two like newer groups. Mm-hmm. And then they would always have one or two bands that were sort of like the legacy groups that, you know, like if you're in Fresno, you should know who these people are, whether or not, you know, they're playing consistently or not. And so they would have, you know, whatever the bands were, and they would bring in, you know, some, they would do some reunions and different kind of things, which is what I think they were trying to do with Argyle Pimps this year.
Mm-hmm.
But in the last few years, I think they've really made a choice. I don't know if this is actually a choice. I'm just saying this. I haven't talked to them about this, but, you know, moving towards sort of more showcasing the sort of diversity of what's happening in Fresno than looking at specific bands. So it's more about like, here's the sound of what Fresno is about. So this is why you get, you know, the Carlos Montano band and a band like Unlikely, and then Brian Cade, and then, you know, some Banda music. You just get this full scope of like, here's all of the kind of stuff that's happening in Fresno, which I think is pretty cool. So,
agreed.
If you're in it for the music, you can also just go and listen to bands and walk around and people watch.
Mark off the 23rd, Saturday the 23rd.
Go down. All day.
I always recommend going early unless you're just like a scene person that like wants to get the full experience and be there at night. But if you're of older age, I go earlier.
I tend to go early. I have tended in, you know, and also like I have been performing and helping out and stuff. So that's a whole other thing. But tend to try to get there early and then just stay as long as I can. And then whenever I leave, because I've just had enough, like I'm just, you know, it's fine, you know, because I'm like, well, I've seen
everything. Yeah. Unless there's a band I really want to see.
Yeah. Sometimes you might have to miss someone, you know, but usually what they'll do is they'll have the box play that the late night slot on the main stage, like, so everyone will be there. And that's great because they do kind of a lot of these hip hop and other covers
fun
and stuff
for the
so
regular people.
Yeah. And so if you miss, you're not going to feel too horrible if you ditch out on that, let's say.
Yeah. I'm kind of, unless there's specifically
not that you should, but
a band I want to see, I'm done after they do the they do like the beer ceremony of like whatever the,
you're like, which, it's 4 o'clock.
Yeah. I'm like, once they've done that, then I'm like, all right,
I'm going to be back on my couch.
I'll be, maybe I'll see a Gazebo Gardens later or something. I don't know.
For sure. So that is what's happening. There's your Fres Yes Fest.
Okay. Yes. And oh, don't forget, if you're in the Fresno State area or maybe Tower District area, you can take the trolley.
Oh, dang.
Because the parking is kind of a
pain.
You should
definitely.
A little bit of a
that
pain
would
in
be,
the ass.
Yeah, that would be a day I would take the trolley. Now, it'll be interesting to see whether or not they run the trolley earlier that day.
Oh, what's it?
Because I know the
start?
Trolley normally starts at like 5 or 6. Oh, I think 6 is the first one. Okay. Typically.
Yeah, you're going to want to start that earlier. That maybe you got to work with the trolley. And I saw there's a Tiki bike now.
Oh, is there?
There's a Tiki. Well, not Fresno yet, or Fresno specific, but now there's a Fresno has a Tiki bike, Tiki bar bike that you can take around Tower and downtown.
I want to say that had been. They had that for a while,
and then
it
kind of
went away.
Yeah,
so maybe it's back. I don't know if it's new people or different.
It might be. It's Fresno Pedal on Instagram. If you want to check it out,
I'll have to look. Because I do know that.
Yeah, there was one.
I want to say I did a story about him. I want to say I even. Oh man, it's hard to say. I'd like to say that I went out with him and like kind of rode around for a while, but I don't really remember if that's the case or not, but I definitely remember.
One of the ones that everybody has to pedal, or one of the ones where like one poor person is like, ugh.
I think it might have a small engine on it.
Oh, okay.
So that like you don't have to.
Yeah.
But it definitely has pedal. I can't remember. I can't remember. I'm saying all this as if I know exactly what I'm talking about, and I clearly don't. But yeah, you should definitely go check them out.
March is fun for Fresno.
It is. Yeah. I mean, March into April. So look into May. If you are a music person, this is the next 3 months are just going to be like crazy because you have Fres Yes Fest. And then in April, and we'll talk about this next month, you have Porch Fest, Tower Porch Fest, which is going to be. And then in May, Stone Shiver is doing their Jamboree, and they've put together a pretty good lineup for that. It's a vastly smaller lineup, but down in Kingsburg. So there's a lot of stuff happening into the spring music-wise.
Whee!
Yeah, for sure.
All right, Josh, the time has come for us to
plug it up.
Josh, right, what are you doing? Now you start it off.
You want me to start? Okay. I will plug my day job at the Fresno Bee and FresnoBee.com. If you're into Fresno and you want news, I feel like it's the place to go.
Okay.
Do we get everything? I think we do, actually. Do we get beat sometimes by other news organizations in town? Yeah, I think we do. But that's fine.
That's good, in a way, for Fresno.
Yeah.
That somebody else is out there competing with you.
Right.
And but you're the what's under the Fresno Bees umbrella is that what's that other entity that's they're kind of operating on their own?
Ida and El Valle?
No, not that one.
Are you thinking Fresno Land?
Yes, Fresno Land.
So Fresno Land had been under the B as one of the labs or something that we were doing. Okay. It has since sort of shifted off of the B. We're still, I think, part of this collaborative where we kind of share some information, share stories and stuff. But they are actually their own separate news entity.
Oh, okay. I didn't know that. I thought they were still just like a department of the B.
Nope. They shifted off because they were they have always been a sort of nonprofit run news organization, and they kind of had their own their own staffing and stuff from the beginning. It was tied, of course, through the B. But they have since kind of shifted off. So if you go like to the Fresno Land web page, you'll see, you know, all that information. And they've actually, you know, done a good job of hiring people. Again, it's all philanthropic based. So, you know, it's hairy sometimes because, it makes it difficult. We know it's difficult to fundraise for things. But yeah, they do good work, and we definitely run a lot of their stories in the B already. If you like the stuff that we talk about on this podcast, I feel like a lot of it comes from reporting that's done
at
the
B. I am a digital subscriber.
Good. And, that's what we need. We need more digital subscribers. So if anyone is listening and
I like the physical paper, but I just my budget's not in there for it. But I would still love to have it brought to me every day. But
Truthfully, I think it's going away, whether we like it or not.
No.
I just think that's going to be a thing that's going to
happen. But I could still get, I know all the newspaper machines are gone. I'm assuming there's not any machines left, are there?
Fresno Bee machines? In the world?
Like working? No, I mean Fresno Bee machines working.
Oh, you mean like newspaper racks?
Yeah, the machines.
Yeah, I don't believe so.
Okay. But I think you could still get them at like Save Mart and stuff.
You can get them at, like Rite Aid, I think, or Walgreens, different places like that.
Sure Save Mart does. Maybe all of the grocery stores. I don't know. Or maybe like 7-Eleven, maybe.
I have several times needed to find a copy for whatever reason and had just been like, I don't know.
Wait, do Kids Day already?
Kids Day did happen.
Oh.
And, the Fresno Bee did not. Oh, oh man. Ooh, so the Fresno Bee did not sell. I'm really having to think about this because my mind.
What happened?
Like, I believe that the Fresno Bee did not sell actual papers this. I think they did something else. I think they either did. There still was a Fresno, like in, if you got the Fresno Bee that day,
an issue.
Kids Day coverage, some stories. Cause I think, I want to say I wrote one of the stories. So there still was Kids Day coverage. But I think they have changed around the way that they're doing that now. And so the day of that physical Kids Day has changed. I think they're doing now like QR codes and different things. I really can't remember. Man, my memory's so bad, but maybe one of the listeners.
I'm assuming they probably there wasn't any record breaking donation year unless somebody came in with a big.
I see that there again. I think they did actually get where they want it to be for donation wise. I don't know. That's
all
a good question.
Well, never mind. Sorry, tangent.
I'm going to look into it. We can talk about it next month if we remember.
Sorry.
Or if our listeners want to chime in.
Yeah.
Maybe somebody knows.
What else? So Fresno B.
Fresno B. I have a radio show on New Rock 104.1. It's Sunday nights. It is a local show. It's called Homegrown. Only music from Fresno and Central Valley, and specifically like rock, you know, because it's a rock station. But interviews and other kind of things. So that's on New Rock 104.1, Homegrown Show. I am on Great Day every Friday. That is KMPH's morning show. Every Friday I do a little 5-minute, here's what to do for the weekend. Mm-hmm. So if you want to see my face and hear me talk about things.
And see the length of Josh's hair this week.
Yep.
You know,
if you need to know any of that kind of stuff, do I have a beard this week? Is it a beard week? What's my hair looking like?
Yeah.
Did I buy a new shirt?
Yeah.
Any of that kind of stuff.
What's Kim or Kopi or Are any of the crew gonna say about Josh? Well, yeah, like what kind of what kind of weird little moments Josh gonna cause there?
I love it. I love it. Yeah. So that's happening. And that is on Fridays. It's like that 8:30-ish.
Mm-hmm. And Fridays is a good day to watch that show because they got the band. They always have a band.
They do. Playing. They have a. I wanted to say band of the episode. I think they call it Festive Friday Band. Uh-huh. They have a band in studio, and they have the producer of that segment is like a sound engineer guy, and it's so good. They have like legit like bands playing, like local bands playing. Mm-hmm. You know, so it's like. They do a really good job of curating and reaching out to bands and seeing who's playing. And so it is, I feel like a good place. I'm surprised how often I'll write about a band or be talking about a band to someone. And then I'll go in and there they are on Great Day. So.
Maybe they're a reader of what, Josh? What would they be reading? Yeah. What could they be reading?
The other thing is,
find this info.
I have a newsletter that I do. Also on Sundays every week, it's called Band Geek, and it is that same sort of thing. So local music. Every month I'll do a calendar listing with as much of the musical happenings as I can find. New releases, whenever I can find out about them and talk to the bands, I'll do some interviews when I can. I'll post some reviews from time to time. All that kind of stuff. So that's at Substack. It's a Substack newsletter. If you search for Band Geek or my name or Fresno Music, you should be able to find it. And
for ease,
you can subscribe. It goes right to your email. It's free. Although mm-hmm. if you want to
pledge,
give me money, yeah. You can like make a little donate. I don't collect money right now from it, but
one day,
the more people that pledge and say they would give money, if mm-hmm. I did, then maybe it'll be worth it for me to take that. I mean, it probably already is, but so there's that. And then the other big thing is music-wise, I have a project right now called New Old Man, and I'll say it, we have a show coming up in May on the 18th. This is the Stone Shiver Jamboree, and
right.
we will be opening the whole thing, and very excited. And I say we because while the project is sort of a solo thing that I have done, recording, I have a band. I put together a band, Mike.
Nice.
I put together a band. I have
nobody told me.
Wado Tornado, and Victor from Sparkle Jet
Ooh.
Playing drums and guitar.
Dang,
and then
that's elite. That's
Amelia
elite.
From Sci-Fi Caber is playing bass.
Nice.
So if you've seen Sci-Fi Caber or
I know that
the Sunnydales, you will have seen Amelia, and she is wonderful as well. And going to be doing some backup singing and the whole thing. It's going to be great. I'm very excited about it. It's like, I can't even... It's so awesome that they were even willing to like say, okay. And they were very excited about it as well, which was weird for me because I asked kind of just being like, well, if you guys have time and maybe, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. And they were all like, yeah, sure. This sounds great.
Like,
I was like, calm down.
We got to do it now.
Yeah. Well, right now it's all about making it happen, but I'm so super excited that they were able to take that on. So we will at least play that show, the Jamboree. There'll probably be some other stuff that we're doing kind of just to make sure that we're ready for that. So you can look out for that New Old Man on Instagram, and then we're on Bandcamp too if you're wanting to look into all that stuff. There it is. That's for me. Mike,
all right.
What do you have going on?
Well, before I get to mine, if you're listening to this episode at the beginning, the first Monday of the month, which is our schedule.
Yeah,
there's still some time to see some Rogue Fest stuff.
I forgot to mention earlier. Yeah.
So you still got one more weekend left of Rogue Fest.
I think 7th, 8th, and 9th are the days.
Yeah,
that
it goes
March.
through the 9th of the last day. So
yeah, 9th.
If you're listening
and there's
to this,
there's a bunch of shows, really good stuff. Yeah.
Yeah, FresnoRogueFestival.org if you're...
That is correct.
I also, like Josh, I have a blog and a newsletter /newsletter, fresnofresno.substack.com.
I like it.
Every Wednesday, hopefully, fingers crossed,
I post
something Fresno culture related, or something related to me that relates to Fresno.
It's usually like, I found this thing, and it's really cool.
So there's that. And then the old blog, thefresno.com, is still there. It just kind of... Every once in a while, I'll post something to there still. It's at the moment, it's more of an archive blog, but it's still active. I'm not posting to it like I would like to because Google has killed blogs.
Yeah. But here's the thing. The archives are cool.
I gotta keep up my
your payments.
Yeah, I gotta make sure my Bluehost payments are in order. But other than that, it'll always stay up.
No, it's great. It's there are a lot of times when I'm looking for something and I'm like, I know that this happened during this particular time in Fresno, 2000 to like whatever, and I'll search for it, and very often it'll be the Fresnan that pops up. Yeah. And I'm like, yes.
There's still a lot of old stuff on the other Fresnan that was hosted through a different hosting company that I can't get back. I can't transfer over, but anyway, they're still out there.
The Fresno Beehive was the same way, and also Fresno Famous. I think both of those, the hosting kind of disappeared. Those archives.
I have found some old Fresno Famous stuff on. Wayback Machine?
Wayback Machine or Archive? Yeah.
Yeah, you can actually find some old and nostalgia. I'm like, FresnoFamous.com. It's very, very cool. I also have a beer geek show like this one, but it's about beer drinking and called The Perfect Pour. We have a new show every Friday. We come out with a new show. I do host with friend Nick and Rad Stacy, and
Rad's it, right?
We talk about craft beer
to just pick out the perfect name for that thing. Like, it's just such a great name, and I would assume that it's something that a lot of people maybe who came into things later wanted and are like, damn it,
we did it. Sorry, guys. So.
Yeah.
I have a beer geek newsletter kind of related called drinkingandthinking.substack.com. So there's that. That's enough of that, man.
Do you have a Mike C place,
I mean, the Fresnan, if you look up the about who thing that has that.
Oh, okay. Because I'd a place where I could just go and find out about Mike C.
Sure. No, that's all right. You don't need that.
Okay.
But we have show notes here. It's a lot of the basic stuff is linked if you want to look in your podcast player and check it out, and you can go there. And that's The Fresnan on social media. And Joshua Teehee
on all the social medias. You can reach out, but I know you won't unless I make a mistake.
Then I'm like, arr!
Then I'll hear all about it.
Yeah,
always said
the old.
If you want to know if someone's listening or reading your work, if you're in the content creation, just make a mistake.
Yep, and then you're you guys are there,
and not just make an honest mistake.
Yeah,
because those are the ones people
can't fake it.
To complain about. If you make a mistake, like if you do something that's like whatever, but you make an honest mistake, for instance, I don't know, you spell something wrong or you get a date, but something that's like an honest mistake that's like, people will let you know.
Yeah.
And that's fine. That's fine. As long as
it shows me they care and they're out there.
As long as you don't anyone who is a journalist will tell you this. There's a group of people who, when you make a mistake, honest mistake, simple mistake, a lot of times, they will make sure that you know that you are stupid. You don't know
what you're doing. Stupid, right?
You know you're stupid. You don't know what you're doing and that you should get a new job.
Yeah.
So I just got an email or a voicemail the other day from someone who said that. And it was an anonymous number, so I couldn't call. But I wanted to call back just to be like, hey.
Hey, man. Wait, can I still, is there still, this can't be still a thing, can I call you at your Fresno B, do you have a Fresno B number that I can call and complain to?
Sure.
But like,
to me specifically? Sure.
Yeah. No, but it's, not it's your almost, number, if, like a Fresno
look,
B number.
I believe if you look at my stories on, and I'm giving away secrets, but whatever, on the B, I think if you look on the stories that I did, somewhere there, maybe at the bottom of the story, there'll be like an email and a phone number.
Yeah. Oh,
I mean,
right.
It's out there. The phone number's out there because I mean, obviously, I get calls from people all the time. So, yeah.
Oh, good.
Definitely.
Oh, good. I didn't know that was still a thing.
You could, if you read something that you like and you think I'm doing a good job, you could do that.
Oh, no, yeah. Come on. I'm not doing that.
It's great. When people do call and tell to say that you've done a good job, it's like the best feeling in the world. It's just like, it's like an endorphin rush, like kind of like no, and only because so many times. So if I have a story come out that I know a lot of people have read, you know, let's say it comes out on a Friday and like, I just know people have been reading it over the weekend or whatever. And I come back to my office and I see that I get that I have a call or a voicemail. My heart usually sinks because I'm like, what did I screw up here? And a lot of time, and it's not that always, you know, like, you know, whatever. But that's the feeling.
Yeah.
Anyway. Sorry, I didn't mean to rant. This isn't about, this isn't me, this, no, is my, this no. isn't my therapy
we're
session.
All, yeah, we're all going to be okay, and we're all good. We're used to all the criticism and the non-criticism and all the things. So.
Right, yeah. Okay.
Yeah, that's everyone's fine. We love it. It's great time to be alive in Fresno. And,
it's true. And I will say, for at least for this particular endeavor that we do, the listeners are awesome. And like, because look, yeah,
especially since we don't, time, we just do one thing a month and right. then we're well, gone.
But for a long disappear. Time, you know, we didn't have necessarily there have been periods where we didn't have necessarily the best production values. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And the fact that people continue to listen through that
push through
means so much. And then the people who actually reached out and wanted to help even more so. So thumbs up all across the board for people who listen to this podcast. It means a lot. All right. I'm going to just we just need to be done. At this point.
Somebody, we all got to go. We all got lives, Josh. Come on.
I know. I have things to do.
We all got stuff to do. We got blossom trails that we got. I gotta get my picks.
You gotta go get your selfies out there.
My blossom picks right now. Everyone's waiting in the car for me to get in there so we can go get in the orchard.
Find
somewhere.
Your okay. Stop. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.